Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Having some technical difficulties. Bear with me. All right. Woof. All right. Lord of mercy, great balls of fire, all praises to the Most High. We have made it in. The energy is just trying to stop us, but to no avail. Tonight, we have a very special program in store where I have a brother, a good friend, who is an intelligent brethren who has some very strong understanding that we're going to discuss tonight and have some time to chop it up. So with that said, I want to introduce, brother, are you there?
Brethren.
Can you hear me? Yes.
I can hear you.
Thank you
for that kind introduction.
Yes, good. So this is Brother Yaquab, who is having a conversation with us tonight. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Yaquab to introduce himself. Brother, go ahead and have a conversation right quick. Tell the folks who you are.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on your show. And I'm just a brother who fears God. I'm just a brother who believes that we are here for a purpose, and that's to be about the will of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm probably like a lot of your listeners, just trying to wait on the imminent return of the eternal kingdom. I like to write books. I like to, whatever I can do to spread the light, that's basically all I am, who I am. And especially in this day and age, it's just been a thrill to be a part of what's going on right now. I know me and you are going to talk about it, but basically just like you, just a brother, just trying to take advantage of the reality, store up, redeem the time, and there's not much more I can say about myself other than that.
Well, I mean, that's enough, and that's good, too, because we just needed to know who Brother Yaquab was, because, you have brought a lot of all praises to the Most High, of course, but through you, he has given me a lot of understanding and overstanding, and I'm very thankful for that. So, without further ado, we have been discussing the consciousness and of our nation and the consciousness of the nations and how that consciousness, that subconsciousness or the conscientiousness of the nations has been null and void, and how our consciousness due to the nations has been suppressed. And now our consciousness is coming back into the fold. And, you know, when we take a look at where we are or where we've come to where we are, it is a miracle in itself. Would you say so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that we were talking about the book of the Third Testament. When you read that book, and it's not well known right now, amongst the Hebrew Israelites, it's not too many people know about that book, but it describes three eras, E-R-A, era, three periods of time, and we were talking about this earlier. It's amazing how we went from the time, the first era, the time of the Father, to the time of the Son, to the time of the Holy Spirit, which is where we are right now, and the things that we have learned, especially in our day, just like the scriptures say, knowledge shall be increased. And
yes.
I was thinking of my loved ones. I was thinking, what would they think if they came back and saw the world as it is right now?
Yeah.
And I know they wouldn't recognize it. And I'm even talking about relatives as of 3 or 4 years ago that it went on.
Right.
The information that other people, I'll say people, who are dedicated to trying to be about their father's business, I know the same thing is happening to them too, where Messiah, mm-hmm. he's making us over into a different person.
That's right.
And he also is using his word, well, primarily the Holy Spirit, the mm-hmm. the Third Testament, to really remake us. He said, I was reading today where he said that basically how his sheep were going to hear his voice and they were going to hear the wisdom and the things that he was going to say in this day and age. And that was going to be the catalyst to make us another person, so to speak.
That's
and
right.
I certainly see that happening. I never really understood how just by reading words, it could have such an effect on you. But now that I've come into contact, thanks to you, I'm really experiencing the power behind the Holy Spirit to reform you and to make you, like Paul, he had to become another person. And
yeah,
Messiah's
yeah.
going to do the same thing to all of us who he is going to
mm-hmm.
use in the near future to do
yeah.
ministry. And he even says that he is no longer going to use an intermediary, meaning
right.
the internet or other computer
people.
Or media outlets. He's going
yes.
to speak directly
yes.
to us. Colossians
mm-hmm.
1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I can't wait. What about you, bro?
Brother, I can't wait myself. That's what all this is about. It's all about purifying our spirits so that we're purifying our antenna, purifying our magnetism, our vibration, our frequency, so that we can hear the echoes and the true reverberations of the Father. What's happened to us is we have been cut off from our source. So the power that enabled us was cut off, and a new power source was put in, and that's where you get the European nations colonizing peoples' narratives that has been injected in our own psyche, which creates a disharmony within our spirit. And it always has. I mean, we were always people who have had an opportunity to we have always been the people who have had the wherewithal to treat people nicely to some degree. We weren't the people as a group that went out and was killing, stealing, and destroying. That wasn't until later when our vibrations were lowered. And, it's to be expected because – we did this to ourselves, right? We did this. I mean, no one did this to us
exactly.
other than ourselves. You know, when we were all proud and stiff-necked and didn't want to listen and didn't want to do the things that was told for us to do, we wanted to play in the slop with the Gentiles, the Father let us do it. And this is the outcome. This is the consequences. This is why now we get the chance to say, well, we see both sides. We've been to the top. We've been to the bottom. Now the Father says, which one do you choose? Because you're going to have to choose, right? You're going to have to make a decision. If you on the physical don't, your spirit certainly will. And right now, this is
they
this
say
is
experience
the,
is the best teacher.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And that is where we are. We're now at an experience level. We're at a high experience level that man has never seen. That Europeans have never seen before. and nor Africans, nor Asians, nor the East Indians. No, you know, no one on this planet has ever seen the Negro in its in his or her purest form. That's this whole that's the whole Psalms 83. You know, that's they've never seen this, and it's something I wanted to read. This is real quick because this is where did it go? This is from Volume 1, Teaching 5. This is this goes on exactly what we were just talking about, and I found it right before we started, and which I'm very glad that the Father allowed me to see this. But this is what it says. This is 65. It's Volume 1, Teaching 5, 65 and 66. It says, I will reveal and leave in writing many lessons during this period. For soon you will cease to hear me in this manner. Afterward, you will prepare yourselves, and my light will reach your spirit directly. It will be the time for you to arise as the true disciples of the Holy Spirit. It goes further to say, you believed, now watch this, you believed that the gift of prophecy, of the word, and of inspiration was a privilege only for the just and the saints. But during this period, I relieve you from that error by saying to the outcast, you may also be my prophets, my emissaries, and my disciples. So he already knew that we were going to, you know, screw the pooch, so to speak. We weren't going to do the right thing. So he to save us, the Messiah, chose to take that burden away from us by putting us at the bottom, so that he can then say, hey, here's my word to the other nations. Hear my word. You need to adhere to it, because everybody has to be tested, right? Everybody has to come to their own moment of truth, and this is where we are right now, you know?
Yeah, and everybody will come to their moment of truth. And what I mean by that is that the will of the Father is that he would have all men to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of a verse in Habakkuk where it says that, Habakkuk 1:5, where he says, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And that's what's going on. That's what's going on right now, because, you know, there's a confluence of events that are going on right at this very time that we're in right now. I like to talk to you about Pluto going into Aquarius and what that means, and I'm sure that only a handful of people know the significance of that event. And what it's
by all means,
mean
brother,
for
bring
everybody.
It out. Bring it out, brother.
Yeah. I mean, if I may digress for a second, I mean, it's almost overwhelming what me and you are going through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
what a lot of us.
Like you talked about, you know, our elevated consciousness, and you made it sound so simple. The overview. From even the first era until now, and how experience is the best teacher. But here in Habakkuk, he says things like this all over the place about the miracle that was going to be performed. And it's an amazing thing, because he also says in the Third Testament, all over the place, really, how there were going to be so few that were going to understand that his, what people call second coming, would be in the wisdom of his spirit, meaning people who come into the knowledge of this new revelation called the Third Testament, people who are elected, who are chosen to come into the knowledge of this, what Messiah says is his new and final revelation, are witnessing. It is a miracle, because the force of the Holy Spirit is dramatically, I mean, it goes along with what I was saying, Pluto going into Aquarius and what it means. What it means, I didn't finish it, was a life-changing event for all mankind, not just the 12 tribes, Israelites, but for all of us, people are going have to, the Third Testament, one of the themes of it is, like you were saying, the brotherhood of man. And mm-hmm. up until now, our nation, I'm talking about the Israelites, we have been hooked on only assigning ourselves salvation, only assigning
right.
ourselves salvation. And if anybody is listening and you pick up the Third Testament, the Book of the True Life, you're going to be, if you're not anointed, if your ears, if you don't have ears to hear this thing, I don't want to discourage anyone, but you're going to be greatly disappointed because Messiah is now used, like I was saying before, he's using things like humankind, humanity, mm-hmm. brotherhood of man. And I don't know how to say this, but I really feel sorry for what our nation has been under because we've been so beaten
yeah.
up. I hope I'm not getting off topic, but
nope.
We've been so beaten up throughout antiquity. You can't blame us for wanting to cling on, to latch on to the knowledge that, yeah, we are the Israelites, 12 tribes, but
right.
it's kind of hard for us to receive that the Heavenly Father says that all creatures, he loves all his creatures, just like your girlfriend saying, I love another man or I want to date someone else and you at the same time. It don't feel
right.
too good.
Right.
But
no.
That's see, we just don't comprehend the love of God. And reading this book, that's the biggest thing that I've seen. We just, you know, stop me if I'm going off, bro. I've been thinking a lot about Joe Biden and what's going on with his son. Now, he loves his son, and that's commendable. The problem is that mm-hmm. he's corrupt. His son is corrupt. But one thing is for sure is that he loves his son. Now, to me, that's indicative of parents or children. Now, he is going through a lot of corruption for the sake of keeping his son out of jail. And it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at that, and then you look at the Heavenly Father. His love is incomparable. Nothing can compare to it. So we should easily be able to have gotten the message during the first and the second era. He chose us. He chose the tribes. He chose Israel, the Israelites, to bring the light to the world. But we got to the second era, the era of the Son, Messiah, his ministry, and we clung to the fact that, or we clung to the understanding that we're the only ones, and we begin to pound people over the head with it. And that's counterproductive to the will of the Father.
Right.
Now,
I don't want to cut you off, but I wanted to say this. Ultimately, we did that to ourselves. See, that's what I keep –
Our vibration was very high,
and we chose to lower our vibration to deal with the beating of the Gentiles. And so, you know, a lot of people wonder, they sit around and they go, well, why they hate us so? Why they hate us so? Well, look at how we treated them. Now, that's not a blame. We ain't going back and forth, but we have to take some responsibility. And I think that's the biggest key in our maturation, in our ascension. As we take on more and more responsibility of our own actions, then we loose the bonds of the world and we get to move forward. I think that's that is atoning for, you know what I'm saying? That is what it's about. We have seen it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And we are now at the end. And we have the choice through our free agency and our free will that we have now regained as a people and individually as a collective consciousness to be able to go, all right, I'm going to make the right decision. I'm going to make the right decision. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Making the right decision. And a lot of it, you know, people use, you got to take the high road. Well, the high road isn't necessarily what we're doing. What we're doing is we're doing the right thing. We're dealing with the two greatest commandments, and that's going to be the hardest thing, because if you don't understand two greatest commandments, or if you have issue with treating people the way you want to be treated, the third testament is not going to be for you. It won't.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Now, you
would
said
you agree?
Something. If you, you said something that I want to expound on, very simple lesson, you have to treat people the way you want to be treated. I mean, these are elementary concepts that have seemed to have been wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
what,
I'm agreeing
you
with you. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
I was agreeing.
I mean, that's another thing. See, and remember John 16, where Messiah said the day was going to come. I'm not going to speak to you in parables anymore. I'm going to speak to you plainly.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
He, in this word, he speaks so plainly. And the simplest things, like the concept of love, like just a
mm-hmm.
simple concept of love, it seems, it's just like it just went right over our heads.
Yeah.
The purpose, the will of the Father was for us to bring the life and the love of God to a fallen world.
Right.
And we
That's
were
right.
taken away with vainglory. Oh, man, we're the Israelites. We're the 12 tribes. We're the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up bringing an affliction on ourselves because of that.
Yeah.
And Messiah said,
and
there's a proverb where it says, huh?
I said, and the entire world.
Right.
Like
we brought
affliction upon us and the entire world based on our pride and vainglory. Yeah.
There's a proverb that says the curse, it says causeless. The curse without a cause, I'll say, for the sake of understanding. The curse without a cause does not come. It won't come.
Mm-hmm.
And I read where Messiah said in the Third Testament, he said that the reason he sent affliction on us was to turn us so
right.
that we would be about the will of the Father, which was to go to the rest of his creation, who he said he loves, and to give them the light. Because the whole agenda, in a nutshell, of the Heavenly Father is our spiritual perfection. Now, how that's going to come to pass, I have no clue. But Messiah said
it is going
to come to pass.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
He said it is going to come to pass.
No, I'm listening to you. I'm agreeing. Go ahead.
Oh, well, he breaks it down so childlike, you know, and the words have such force, but he basically lays it out and says the purpose of the Father is our sanctification. The purpose of the Father is to return our spirit to the purity that it was when we were first given to the world. We have to get back to that. And he's chosen trial, affliction, vexation, and oppression. It's like polishing a diamond. Or how a pearl is made. Constant friction. That is the path he's chosen for all men to make it back to our elevated spirit. Materialism is so strong in this world. I mean, it's mm-hmm. got a death grip, especially on our nation. Just like in the Old Testament, a lot of us didn't want to leave Babylon. We just couldn't see anything better. Same way now. We see the dainties of Babylon and shiny cars, big houses. And we've had a number. We've had a material number done on us, and we've had a psychological. Mm-hmm. And now I'm talking about our nation, the Israelites. We have been effectively removed from our purpose of creation. which was to be a light.
That's right. And this goes to your point again. This goes to the point. This is the Book of True Life, Volume 12, 144, 53. It says, because of my work, many of you will be judged badly, but do not take the cause. Leave it to me, and I will defend you. You only work to sow this light and be humble. When they attack you, you are only the weapons that I have given you, love, respect, and humility. The more they blame you, the more I will manifest my power in you. And those who have the gift of seeing beyond this life in the regions of the spirit strengthen the weak, confirming my words. And those who have the gift of rising to hear the voices from the hereafter, prepare yourselves to carry my message. These higher manifestations will sustain your spirit even in the greatest trials. That is, when we're sitting here having a conversation, whether it's here or on the phone, you know, whatever, every time that we do, it seems like what we talk about, we can go, the Father can have us go directly to it in the Book of Life, the Book of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like the and it all makes sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beautiful thing about this.
Is the beauty.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
That's why it's a miracle. That's why this word is a miracle. A miracle.
That's right.
This word is an honest to God miracle, man. And the thing, and Messiah, he talked a lot about how few there were going to be, just a few
mm-hmm.
people that were going to receive this word. And we're going to recognize that he is already here. His second coming has already happened. It's happening right now. It began in the 1800s. And it's only going to be a handful. Now that, it just blows my mind. Because when you read this, I don't understand how you can't be hooked, personally.
Well,
I mean, his wisdom, he said he was going to prove this was his coming by the wisdom he was going to show in what he wrote.
That's right. And that's the thing, brother. We have been, like I said earlier to you when we're on the phone, we have the Gentiles and us, we have chosen and we have been eating off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil for so long.
Yes.
Even the Bible, some of the scriptures, because of the way that things have been tainted and distorted, it's still seemingly the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, there is bits and pieces of the tree of life in there, but you have to be special to really garnish that, meaning that you have to be really connected to the source to get the full picture and know where the tree of life is in the Word. You know, it's hidden because he had to hide that tree of life, you know. But this book is the tree of life. It is no tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's why it's very difficult for people to really understand, like, hey, you're going to have to treat I'm not going to let you in if you ain't treating your brother right. You know, if you're not clean, why would I bring you into my house? Why would I clean my house and let you come in with dirty shoes all over my floor, right? Why would I do that? That's talking like I'm the Messiah, right? So if the Messiah is saying this to us in this testament, that in this third testament that he's proclaiming to us here at this time, then we need to take heed to it. Remember, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So how can you not be deceived? You cannot be deceived by really treating people right, because then it's like this. As you were talking, I did a little quick search in the Book of True Life, and this is what it came out to with the Tree of Life. It says, "My light has never departed from men. I am always close to their hearts, because how could I leave my children in the middle of the road? And at this time, when hearing the woe of pain, was I going to leave them without my charity? I've come to put away your pain, and I have made you rest under the tree of life, and with its fruits I have fed you. You will not carry hunger or thirst after my departure, and you will share the fruit, the water, and the bread with the thirsty and hungry, with the needy. This is what our job was. That's what our job was. You see? But what is
again, you know, we
would say?
I was just agreeing with you once again, showing how far we have fallen from the concept, from the love of the Father. You resorted to powerful logic there, and that's another thing he does in this word. He resorts to some irrefutable, simple, and easy to understand logic that is bound to win over anyone who is sincere about trying to know the will of the Father. And, you know, he protected his word. The language that he uses in the Third Testament, in our world today, the language, the scriptures, it can really be used to pound on somebody.
I said, as they were, right? They were used to pound on people. And then we are guilty
of that.
That's right.
Our nation
and the Gentiles too. And the Gentiles too.
I'm guilty of that. Really, we all are in a sense. But we're really, I mean, our own nation. I mean, I hate to sound like this. I was like that too. But when you read this newest revelation, Messiah, even when he is talking about the wicked and the rebellious and the disobedient, I mean, it's like he's not upset. He says he loves them. Now, people don't escape his justice. You know, let us not be deceived about that. But even when he has to speak about his justice, it is in terms of tenderness, obvious concern for your own good.
Yeah.
Because the objective, the bottom line is that it's our spiritual perfection, because he knows that that is the highest that man can be. And in this reality, with the reality, the kingdom of the flesh, we don't want to, a lot of us have grown comfortable the way things are. Messiah is trying to say that is just crumbs compared to what I have for you. If you just want to be, you know, if you want to, I'm here trying to elevate you to where you, to worlds that you have never known, you could not have ever imagined. But the process, we don't want to go through that process.
No,
the will of the Father is going to be done. What's that?
Yeah, I said that process is a difficult one to endure. It's just like when we say, about slavery, right? And people go, "You guys want reparations from that? That was so long ago." See, there's a process in everything. It's a process in healing, right? It's a process in not healing. What's going on today in our time period is that some of us, a very few of us, are trying to be healed spiritually. Most of us are trying to be healed physically. In the physical healing, they have gotten that mixed up with spiritual healing. And those of us that now have the understanding that the Father has given us, and it's many of us, but it's a few of us. And I always said many of the few, right? It's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more of us than there ever was that is trying to heal ourselves. But it's just like he said, and like I just read, we are to heal other people too. That's the key. He came. The Messiah came to show us how to heal other people, and a lot of it has to do with how we treat one another. If we treat one another right and take heed to his word and love our Father and fear our Father, well, then you know what? Our powers grow. When we don't do that, our powers don't grow. It's like having a flashlight, a super-duper flashlight that's not charged in the dark, you know, or it's very dim. You know, we've been very, very dim, but now he put some super gigantic solar batteries in us and heighten our awareness and understanding, and now we're shining. And the tricky thing for the Gentiles is that the more we shine together, the more their darkness comes to light, you know, the more we get to see what they've been doing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we get to see. It's just like we laughed about today, Joe Biden. He coming out talking about he said, I sell state secrets. And the funny thing is, I was talking to these guys that I was playing ball with this evening about that, and one of the guys is a cool guy, you know, he is East Indian. He said, and he's a Biden guy, and he said, well, you know, it's how did he say it? He said it was about what he was saying. He said there was a lot of interpreters there, so it kind of came out wrong. And I said, really? Sounds like he said it to me. So it's just the fact that what we're seeing, we get the chance to see it from a righteous perspective, and the other nations are still seeing it from a wicked perspective. You see what I'm saying? Like they still have their eyes are still blind to where they are unable to see the exposed wickedness. Like they can't even see it. It goes back to us being blind. You know, we were blind, they're now blind, you know? You know? And, and that's the beautiful thing about the Torah Testament. Yes. I said, you said therein lies the power of God, and I said, and there is the Third Testament, right? That's what it's about.
Right.
That's what the Third Testament's about, bringing us back from our abyss and keeping us from trying to be the top of the Tower of Babel as well. You see what I'm saying? Like trying to be the top. Our narcissistic and our fanaticism and our ego, trying to keep our ego in check. Because this ain't about me. It ain't about you. This is about the word that we're reading and having a conversation on. You know, a lot of people get upset because all we're doing is having a conversation. So they, you know, they is, oh, I don't believe what you're saying, and you tell them that's not true. And then you got Christians upset because we don't acknowledge what they're talking about completely. And, you know, and it's like, hey, wait a minute. This isn't about you. This has always been an individual walk to do with this has nothing to do with the group collective until the end. See, because they could have done the group collective thing. They could have done the right thing, but they didn't. We didn't. We could have done the right thing, but we didn't. So at the end, the right thing gets done regardless. In lieu of the wickedness, the right thing gets done. So we don't even have to worry about the wretchedness. Right. That's what it is, man. It's a process.
It's the process.
He starts
with a few, and then he's going to take the few, and he talks about this in the Third Testament. He's going to take a few, and they're going to go out and win over the rest. And, you know, he says here, I got the Third Testament on my screen, too. And I just have to be in chapter 56. It says the fight for the recognition of the new word. Chapter 56, it says, today it is a small portion that surrounds me. Talking about people. He says, but tomorrow the multitudes will be around me. Will be immense. Among them will be the Pharisees and the hypocrites searching for errors in my doctrine to arouse the mind of the multitudes against my work. So, and then he says, they do not know that before they scrutinize my word, they will be scrutinized. So, but my point that I want to make is that we got a struggle ahead of us for the light for the sons and daughters in light, for brethren who are able to receive this revelation, I think they're marked out. I think they're children of light. Now, I'm talking about Jew and Gentile, according to what I read. And by the way, that's going to be the hardest on our nation. That is, I foresee that now. I mean, this universal type of teaching, humanity type of teaching, that's going to be hard on our nation. That is, but see, if people just understood the nature of judgment, I talk about that all the time based on what I've been reading and learning. Messiah says the nature of judgment is your conscience. So all who have done wickedly and have not turned away, will have to deal with their conscience. And it seems like, you know, we probably that ain't nothing. You know, that's easy. You know, I think that we're mistaken if we feel that way. On top of that, Messiah says it's not like we are facing an eternity with a red devil jabbing us in our behind, you know, for the rest of eternity. Messiah says the nature of the judgment he is talking about, and I can see it. It's one of a couple things. Number one, you may come back. You may be reincarnated to make restitution until you get to a level where you don't have to reincarnate anymore.
You're talking that crazy talk about reincarnation. But go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, take that up with Messiah, man. I mean, because he wins you over with the wisdom of his word. You just can't beat his wisdom. You just can't beat it, man. He uses such a forceful logic on you. You'd be an idiot to try to go against that. And it's full of love, man. Like he was saying that the judgment, I mean, like you said earlier, we bring it on ourselves. And even then, for brethren who have elevated that far, don't you know he wipes their memory clean? But the judgment of others will be, you will be in the kingdom, in the glory of the Father, but you will have shame written all over you because you will be filled with regret that while you were in materialism, you lived for, you did not live, you didn't redeem the time, you didn't want to store up, you wanted to live for the flesh. Your own desires, your own carnality. The judgment he talks about is where you have to face yourself. And he does not wipe away your sinful conscience, and that's the benefit, one of the benefits of brethren who are marked out, who are marked by him, whoever they are, they will have their memories wiped clean.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it means, like when it says in Revelation. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say that's why we have to be purified, because the healing only comes through the purification of the person, of the spirit, of the conscience. So right now, that's why it's important for us to constantly be atoning, constantly be repentant. Don't think of it in the perspective of, oh, this is the Christian or the Gentiles. Just worry about you doing the right thing, you know?
You're making me interrupt you, bro. You hit me too much, man. I don't want to sound, you know, but you are just so right, man. You know, you are so right. You're so right that I forgot what I was getting ready to say.
there it is, because you wanted to say, you wanted to praise the Father on that. You wanted to praise the Father on that. That's the thing, brother. We are now at the precipice of us cleaning ourselves up. He said, hey, Jacob, I'm going to make you heal. I'm going to heal you. But, and this is my interjection, my conjecture in it, but you're going to have to listen to me. See, that's the key. We're going to have to listen. We don't want to listen. Many people don't want to listen. because all they know is, hey, you know, Jesus died for my sins, and I can sin
mm-hmm.
some more. See,
mm-hmm.
that's the
mm-hmm.
error of the third era, right? That's
yeah.
the error where they think, the second era, they thought that they can just get through it because of Jesus,
yeah.
so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus got
yeah.
it back, we good. But that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about, hey, you're going to have to clean yourself up. But at the end of the day,
yeah.
I know you're not going to. And this right today, me coming, is not for you. It's for later. It's for them later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are right now, you know. And even when you read the New Testament, the Old Testament and such, it's always leaving out all of Christ the Messiah's words. Yeah, they put some in red, but those are the ones that they cherry-picked to tell you. That's why Mark, Luke, Matthew, that's why we only get four apostles, understanding, as opposed to all 12. Because sometimes, or a lot of times, these apostles were dealing with the psychological of Israel, because Israel was so stiff-necked, so stuck up. So, like, and doesn't it make sense that they would be? Shoot, I can. What did I say earlier? You know, I can do wrong and I still win. All I'm doing is winning. I got the
yeah.
Father on my side.
You know,
I'm win. You know,
if I may say so, if I interject for a second, you know, we got a modern day example of exactly what you're talking about. I was speaking a little bit about on it earlier with Joe Biden. And the worst
mm-hmm.
thing that is done for his son is he gave him the world. And his son can't handle the world.
That's right.
And he's making a disgrace of himself and his whole family name.
Yeah.
And same for us.
Yeah.
I mean, not the same for us, but Messiah knows that we have to go through a process. Only Messiah can legislate morality and reform the human heart. Man.
Right,
he's the only
right.
one. Man can't do it. He can make laws, but that is not reforming the human heart. Like
no.
you said earlier, he has us go through experiences.
Right.
And
right.
he uses the crucible of our life to turn us. And it should bear fruit of a renewed understanding. Because we,
mm-hmm.
Messiah says, everyone is going, Messiah says that, remember that he said, I was telling you how, he said that God wouldn't be God if he lost anyone.
Right.
That's what Messiah
That's
said.
Right.
He said, you know how we say in our reality, you know, well, they're lost or they were lost or, you know.
Right.
But Messiah said, "Well, I mean, in the eternal sense, I mean, like they're dead and gone, and people say, well, they're lost, or, you know, they use that
right.
language. But
no,
Messiah
okay.
says, God is God. He says, if anyone is lost, God wouldn't be God. And I thought,
that's
man,
right.
that is such logical, you know, that is so logical. How do we fall and get this far? Away from the overstanding of the love of God, man. The president will go to bat for his son and the evidence
mm-hmm.
against his son and himself, really. That's the only difference. The Bidens
right.
are corrupt. You know, they're human and they're corrupt. But
No, wait a minute. I got to interject. I got to interject real
okay.
quick. So you had said something. I want to make sure that we touch on that real quick. You had said
okay.
that, you know, it's about the fruits, right? I mean, you know, our
uh-huh.
fruits. Well, the first and second era, all the things that was happening then, we are the fruits
mm.
of that today. We are the fruits of that today. And what does that
well,
look
I agree
like?
With that.
We are now finding this word tasty. We are now getting back to understanding who we were and are in the bosom of
mm-hmm.
the Father, right? So that's
mm-hmm.
the fruit that the experience of the first and second era, epa,
had to go through. That's the process. So now, even all the way
up
to the end
of the process.
I
attribute a lot of it to the Holy Spirit.
Sure. Sure.
The error of the Holy Spirit.
But that's the process. That's the process that we're in now, because we didn't have that before, right? He came. That's what everybody was dealing with, the Messiah. Now he left. Mm-hmm. So now all that's left for us, especially now that we didn't have the Holy Spirit for a while, now we get to have it, see it, hold it, and be part and take part of the Holy Spirit's comfort. Where we, you know, and if you think about it, we dealt with the comfort of the Holy Spirit for a long time. We just didn't know. We just didn't understand, because we were destroyed for the lack of knowledge of that simple thing. Now we're getting this common sense approach to things again. We're starting to recognize things that weren't always as they seemed, but we had to deal with it. Now we're reading. Now we're back in play. And the entire world has never, ever seen or heard us speak or seen us before. And it's funny, because when I was growing up, right, I've had a lot of Gentile friends playing the sport that I played, playing soccer. So it was always interesting to me that once I left my hometown, of course, okay, but it was always interesting to me that those people that I would be going to work with or playing ball with, or know, like I know them, when I saw them at the grocery store somewhere else, they never saw me. I saw them, but they never saw me. And then when I would confront them, oh, man, I never even saw you. Why didn't you come up and say something to me? And in my mind, I was like, well, I didn't think you even saw me. So this psychosis where we were was one that, you know, they never saw us. So the conversations that was for us or for them or for us as a collective never could be had, because they never saw us. It took all the way to 2020 for them to see us to some degree. Now think about that, to some degree. And now in 2023, it's notched itself up a slight degree. It's soon going to be where they cannot help but to see us. And when I say see us, I mean hear us, see us, talk with us, and hear us. Because that's the whole point of us being the light to them. You know, they want to be the light to themselves, but how can you be the light to yourselves when your actions, when your fruits are not quality? It's like Monsanto fruits. They giving up Monsanto fruit, and we're trying to do original. And it's funny, I saw this thing about the food. So the same foods that, and this is why you know it's got to change, right? The same foods that we get here in the grocery store, the Frosted Flakes and all that, they put all the poison that they can in our food. But when you go over to Europe, they ain't got none of that stuff in there. It's got to be natural. And they still sell the same thing over there. So it's the same principle.
Even the air we breathe is polluted.
Yeah, we've been poisoned. The rest of the world sees the poison, right? Isn't that funny? The poisoner, this is the sorcery, this is what they've done. So they've been poisoning us as they have been giving all of our understanding away. Now we've got the antidote. We've got the poison killer, and now we can see, now we can talk, now we can hear. And now they're going, who gave you that? How do you know that? And we're going, our Father, and they're perplexed.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just perplexed.
That's what Messiah said, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what Messiah said, too. He said, matter of fact, he said almost exactly that the elite, the scientists, the educated, the high and mighty and academia, with the work that he was ready to do through us, they were going to be the ones that were going to be astounded at the seemingly uneducated, unlearned men of rough understanding that he was going to turn people like like ourselves into. I'm not saying you. I'm saying more, you know, just
no, I understand.
People who you wouldn't think would have any wisdom. He's going to do a work in them.
That's right.
And the great men of the earth would go to people who formerly they wouldn't even give the time of day to. For they're going to have to go to them for their wisdom.
And doesn't that only make sense?
Yeah.
Doesn't that only make sense?
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
How can you be humble? How can you be taught something humbly if you listening to some dude who has studied and they had pumped him up and now he got a bunch of money, got a big house, and he is worshipped like an idol for the time that mm-hmm. he spent learning one thing, and the
mm-hmm.
other people who he felt he was over, he, you know, they
mm-hmm.
never saw. Goes back to the same thing. They never saw us. It's not until today
mm-hmm.
that they are really sitting back and looking at us. That's why they're all quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they ain't got time for
mm-hmm.
us, because they're so busy enamored with what the hell is going on with them, and they can't
mm-hmm.
really stop. The Father is not letting them stop long enough to deal with what's going on with us, because they are catching hell, right? So they have
mm-hmm.
so right now they're just in awe as to what's really going on over here, but they're dealing with it. But they're clogging holes over here where they are right now, because they like, well, the boat's
mm-hmm.
got to continue, so we gotta fix these holes. But look at that pristine ship that's coming up over there. Where do these people get this ship from?
Yeah,
this yacht, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Messiah,
we're going,
he said they'll always just be running in circles until they acknowledge
always.
The will of the Father.
Until they acknowledge that ship. Until they acknowledge that super yacht that we're on is our Father's. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to recognize our Father's yacht, because they're still so perplexed and enamored with the fact that we are on a super yacht. It's like Django, Stephen, in the beginning when he got over to not the White House with the dude from Miami Vice, but the other dude's house, and he said, and Stephen goes, who is that nigga on that nag? He was so enamored with Jamie Foxx sitting on a horse that he didn't even understand what was going on. And that's a Gentile mind.
Mm.
That was the Gentile
mm-hmm.
mind. And that's where we are today. You know, they still, they're so,
mm-hmm.
the Gentiles are so enamored with the fact that they're going, how did they get this knowledge? They can't wrap their heads
mm-hmm.
around how we came upon getting this information. And it's like, yo,
mm-hmm.
we're just over here reading these books. We're just reading
yeah,
these books.
Yeah, just like
that's
in
it.
The book of Acts. They said the same thing. They looked at Peter and John and wondered among themselves, how can such uneducated men give these answers?
Right.
You know?
It's troubling. Their hearts, their spirits is troubled, because they're like, we didn't give this to them. How did they get it? And then if they set back long enough, like a few more seconds to consider, like Thomas Jefferson said, an exchange of situation by supernatural means is a probability. Now they're going, holy snap, we either got to go back to sleep or we're going to have to do something about these Negroes. And they don't know what to do about it, so they're going back to sleep. That's why they're quiet right now. That's
the problem. That's the whole problem of the age of materialism, and that's why Messiah has to put, if he don't put a stop to it, it will be no stopping to it, because it takes men away from the spiritual. Men, materialism gets so good, it gets so good to you, your flesh, that you don't want anything else, even if the other thing is something better. That's really done damage our nation. We were talking earlier about how sports and entertainment has really contributed to our own painful situation, because we got proud. We get proud instead of, now there are brethren and sisters, you know, who humbled themselves and they give all glory, praise, and honor to Heavenly Father. But overall, the gift that Heavenly Father has given our nation to be athletic, to be witty and humorous, and they don't bring out our academia because they don't want us to know about that. But the other fields of global recognition, we excel at sporting-wise and entertainment, and they'll let us have that because it's undeniable, but it has done a pain on our nation because it's built up a lot of pride in us, and in addition, has helped us to separate from the Father. And you look at the younger generation, I mean,
I was going to say, and that's so true, because at the end of the day, if they would allow us mind, body, and spirit, their system would have been done a long time ago. So you get a super athlete, you get a Michael Jordan, who has the body and the mind, and you put the give him the spirit, the metaphysics of it, and he has influence, it would have been over in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been completely over.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew. It would have been
over with Rosewood and Black Wall Street. And,
it would have been over a long time ago.
You know,
right.
And even before that, really.
Right. It would have been completely over, but we weren't. We had to be separated from our metaphysics. Our metaphysics to understand our vibration, our frequency, our minds, our bodies, the healing aspect of it, our spiritual side of it. That is what the knowledge that was taken from us. That's our inheritance.
Yeah.
And then on top of it all, after we get all of that and we get our land back, that's what the deal was with Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Rosewood. We had land, which then we were able to manifest the spiritualness, the spirituality from our land. And that was enough to make them go crazy, stark raving crazy, and bomb and burn and kill and destroy, because they realized if we are connected as a people and we start coming out and reading as a people, we would recognize that we have been over, we have had a foolish people over us. We then would use common sense and say, we would use common sense and say, well, wait, if it's a foolish nation that our Father put over us to condemn us, then we need not entertain this foolish the foolish nation's foolery, right? The foolish nation's foolery, and we just need to go back to the Father. See, that would have been a common sense approach from our perspective because we already knew. But they wouldn't let us have that full metaphysics because they knew that it would be the end of their system. And this is why he said, if I don't come back sooner rather than later, they'll like it to destroy everything. Because he knew, what you were just saying, that not only would the material do the entire earth in, because man would rape the earth for all the material and resources that it could, it would pollute it for it, especially the foolish nations, right? He had to come back in a form of a book. He had to come back in a form of spirituality because he told us the temple is in us. So he had to resurrect that energy again, to resurrect the energy in us again.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can be the light. This stuff now is it's very, very, very hard, but it's very easy to see now. You know?
I mean, the sad thing is that even today we've been so jaded by materialism that there's been little room for the spirit to expand in a lot of brethren's lives. And then when you you hear what Messiah has to say about the current condition of spiritual man, and he talks about the rarity and how he is shocked, he says something like he is surprised at the lack of interest in what he's doing today. And that's the type of language that he used. He's surprised that as if, I mean, I know he knew, but he still says that he's surprised at the lack of interest at his new manifestation, the only key to end a world of blood and killing and the world that we all really want. There's just no interest in it. Because and another thing, too, is when you look at love, love American style, I mean, it's just in word only, really. It's not hardly in deed.
No,
we have really suffered from that. We've really suffered
from
that. And,
okay,
you know,
but wait a second. Wait a second. I need you to touch base because we have about 23 minutes left. But I want you to touch base about Pluto and Aquarius. You can't go. You can't. You got to give us that information.
Okay.
You got to go deep into that.
Okay. Well, everybody's got a vibration. You know, they're called astrological signs. You know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, blah blah blah. 12 of them. And we are each of us are under a vibration. And the planets represent the vibrations that we are under. Now, Pluto, Pluto's vibration is, I think they're the ruling planet of Scorpio. And Scorpio's vibration is the dark side, you know.
That's right.
Intense.
Right.
Intensity.
Right.
Passion, you know. Great introspection, you know, that type.
Right.
You know, these are people
right.
who always look like they're involved in a high-stake Texas Hold'em poker game. You know?
Right.
Everything's
right.
always like a banjo string, you know. And so that's Pluto. It's a very, very transformative energy that it exhibits, that it expresses. And Aquarius, these are people, you know, who are under this vibration, they're the water sign. They provide refreshment. They are individualists. They are all about the brotherhood of man. They're like the friends of the world, Aquarius.
Right.
You know, they make like the best friends. You know, they're in it for humanity.
The age of Aquarius.
So now when you put, and so, with, you know, they're very brainy. They're gifted with being able to see 20 years into the future. You know, they're very individualist. You know, now if you couple Pluto with Aquarius, what do you get? The last time Pluto was in Aquarius, you had the French Revolution, the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
You know, civil wars all over the place. A lot
of
change. You know, there was a lot of cleaning house. Okay. Now, but it was supposedly for the better. You know, there was no longer a monarchy in France. There was the rise of the Industrial Revolution and the machine that supposedly made life easier for people. And there was the Civil War that supposedly gave people more freedom. Well, in this day and age, Pluto makes a circuit every 245 years. Okay, so.
Right.
The last time it was here was in, 1700s? Or around that
1776.
Period. So now it's here
1776.
Again. It'll come. Yeah, around that time. And it's here again to do more damage, and the damage is going to come in the form of the brotherhood of man. You know, the brotherhood of Heavenly Father is going to, he's going to use this combination now, Pluto going into Aquarius, where it's going to turn to a more humanitarian, a more brotherly mindset. Remember, Aquarius is the sign of the water bearer, refreshment for the world. And he's going to remove Capricorn, the Capricorn system of structure and discipline and institutions and law and order. I mean, there's going to be law and order, of course, but it's going to be under a different vibration. Men are going to be a community of men.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Aquarius, Pluto going into Aquarius is going to bring. And so you have you have the intensity that Pluto is going to bring into Aquarius, which is going to bring a brotherliness over the world, and it's going to last for 20 years. Or, I mean, not to say that I perceive that this will, I don't know everything about the hereafter and the plans that Messiah will have for the brotherhood of all of men everywhere, other worlds and all that.
Right.
But so far as this reality, I believe it is the final reality that we are experiencing. I don't know how to put it. I see a change that's never going to end, I guess is what I'm saying, with Pluto going into Aquarius. It usually lasts 20 or so years, but I don't think that applies in this case. I think next on tap is the eternal kingdom, a whole different reality. Astrologists have been looking at this combination for like 10, 15 years now. This one day, or May 23rd is when it happened, but they were looking forward to it for like 10, 15 years. And you can see the effects of it with Messiah using this time to bring the third testament, where a lot of people, racist in heart, are going to be challenged. If we don't turn and we don't change our mindset to seek out the brotherhood of men and to work towards it by honoring the will of the Father and seeking his wisdom, people are going to pay a price.
They're going to pay a big price.
Pay if we can't get with the change of time.
That's right.
We can't get with it, man. Our conscience is going to tear us apart.
And that's what I was going to say. And that's what happens if you don't. If you think about even each era or each time period, each decade that we've been alive over the last 80 years, you know, not that we've been alive for that long, but I'm just saying over that course of time, look at how many times that people go, well, I mean, I don't like change. You know, I'm stuck doing this.
Yeah.
I still want to do this. I still want to do it. So this change that's going to come on them is, like he said, a thief in the night. This is why he's saying, hey, be prepared, because when I come, I'm coming like a thief in the night. And I'm going to come when you least expect it, so you got to be prepared. Say it again.
For people who have been seeking the kingdom, it's going to go well with them. For people people who have been honestly seeking return of Messiah and trying to be about the will of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it is going to go well with them. And they're going to be used by Messiah, not only in this world, but Messiah says in other worlds.
In other worlds.
And you are so right. The change, this period is going to be harder on people who are Tauruses, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquariuses, because they're known as the fixed signs. They don't change their ways, like you were saying. There are people who they don't like for things to change. And those four signs I just mentioned, they hate change the most. They're fixed in their ways. And so we're in a serious time where for brethren of our nation and the Israelites who've been preaching the Israelite-only doctrine, it's going to be hard on them to turn to a brotherhood doctrine of all men, all races. And it's going to be hard for those who have hated us and enslaved us and have taken advantage of our labor and paid us no attention to our labor. And it's going to be hard on them. Everybody is going to feel it. And we're going to have to make a decision on whether or not we're going to be able to adjust and get ready for the eternal kingdom, the brotherhood of man, and the will of the Father being done on earth as it is in heaven, or we're probably going to have to reincarnate until we make restitution. There's just no way around it. That's the will of the Father. It's going to be done. It's going to be done for our own good.
And that's the thing about the reincarnation. You know, we don't know if this is the last reincarnate.
Maybe
right.
he's held up. He slowed it down. The spirits or the souls that are coming into this realm. You know, we don't know that. That's why I keep saying he said that I'm gonna come like a thief in the night. So when I hear somebody coming in a thief in the night, I know that. Well, wait a minute. I gotta be prepared.
Well, let me interject for a second. He already did. He said he sent the forerunner in the 1800s. He told us he was going to send the comforter. That happened in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And then
he
said he began to speak in his word since then. And he mentioned announcements of his coming in 1866. There was a big what do they call it when the stars fall? The lights, the in 1866, right when the ministry of the Holy Spirit began, Messiah said it began on September 1st day, trumpets, in 1866, he allowed Elijah to use a man in Mexico to start to be the forerunner. And then Messiah took over in his word, enforced his word in the spirit after that. And his announcement, there was like a significant event in 1866, where it was a when the stars fall, what do they call that? There was some type of celestial event and who knows what else. But I looked that one up. Messiah even says, if you want to know what I'm talking about, he says, do a little research. Now this is what he says. I think it's in the first chapter of the Third Testament. He says, if you want, do a little research and look at the signs of the things that happened in 1866. And there were two of them that were significant.
It said there was a total lunar eclipse of a supermoon and blue moon, and it said tens of thousands of meteors fell to the earth.
There it is right there.
Those are the ones I found.
The eclipse, some type of special eclipse, and the ones with the meteors falling. And that was enough for me.
I believed it on face value
what he said anyway, but I looked it up.
And I was going to say the aurora borealis occurred on the Confederate Victory Day, but I don't know if that's what they put in this garbage. But that.
Well, he said that's what they attributed to man's events on Earth. But he said these celestial events were his announcement. See, he came like a thief in the night, man. We're only just getting this information. I've only gotten it since you turned me on to it. That was like 2 weeks ago?
And look, I only got it because you turned me on to it. You can't make this up. We only got it because the Father turned us on to it.
I love it, because I hit them low and you hit it high,
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. I meant to look at it, but I get a bad memory. But you looked into it, and that was totally the spirit. Boy, am I glad you looked into that.
Man, this was going to happen. It was going to happen anyway, so the fact is that I had to look into it so that we can move forward.
Nice.
Because my hunger was that I was still looking. I am still hungry, I am still thirsty. He said, okay, well, here you go. And again, not everybody is getting it, because a lot of people. I've spoken to a couple people about it, and they have the book and they've read the book, and they didn't quite understand it fully, and yet at the same time, it maybe not have been time for them to. Now we're bringing more information to it now at a time where it's more conducive for us to see the connections on it. I mean, who knows? It was meant for it to happen now. This is what it's about. And that 1866.
Well, the seed's got to be in your heart. It's got to be put there.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that. God has to put that seed in your heart to see him in that word. I mean, if you have ears to hear that word, you should feel so special. I mean, you should really, I mean, not in a prideful way, but, man, you are special. You are special,
yep.
And Messiah says so. He says so.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, man. You know, this is the final revelation, the final manifestation.
This is it. And you know, and everything, all the signs are pointing to it. You got, you know, Brother Judah, you got, you know, Brother Man, everybody is coming to the realization that something's about to give, you know, and everyone is. It's not just them two, it's everyone, even the Gentiles, something's about to give. And the deal is
absolutely
that if something's about to give, do you want to be on the side that's going to take the worst, or the side that's going to get the least? You know, and think about that: the worst or the least. I personally want the least, because within the least, I'm still hungry. I'm still here. If I'm going to get the worst, I feel like I've been through some worse things. I don't want worse anymore. So I'm just trying to gain what I can, the way that the process of the Father has set forth, and that is you got to be least to get understanding, to be built up. You know, like when you go, if you got the belief, that's good, man.
If you got
right.
the belief,
it's like if you're a coach,
love of the Father,
if you can't even
comprehend.
Exactly. But like I'm like this.
We can't
if
even
you're a
comprehend
coach,
it.
And you get a bunch of kids. And you want to teach them something, or you're a teacher. You got to break the kids down to an understanding, a consensus understanding that they all have
right.
before you start building them up to gain, you know, with skill, technique, tactics. You know, you can't start with tactics. You can't start with chess before
mm-hmm.
checkers. There's got to be some type of maturation. Well, we're reaching a maturation because we're getting it so fast. It's coming so fast. That's why I'm saying the Gentiles are going, what do you mean? These are those people that we had in derision in the proverb of reproach? These are his people?
Yeah, their pain is going to be different from the pain of the Israelites.
Right.
Our pain is going to stem from the fact that we were the chosen and we failed in our mission. Not all of us, but we were chosen to be a light and to proclaim the Heavenly Father, the love of the Father. But we fell into error. Messiah calls it a grave error, where we
right.
counted ourselves only. And again, it's hard to blame us because of what we went through psychologically, historically, at the hands of the oppressor. And that's why a lot of this is, you know, we're going to, one way or another, we're going to harmonize with the will of the Father, which is the brotherhood of man.
Right.
But that's the pain we're going to have. The oppressors are going to have the pain of the way that they have treated us. But it's not going to be, like you said, it ain't going to be from the Father. It's what we have done to ourselves. God is love.
Yes.
I mean, a love
right.
we ain't never heard of. He don't quit on you like Love America style. Your girlfriend, she loves you one day, and then the next day she breaks up with you. Or a guy, he wants to get married, and, you know, he don't. It ain't
right.
like that. You know, this like that James Brown song, God's love is, he stays on the scene.
Right. Right, you know, and that's
he's
it's
on
interesting
the
because,
scene, man.
Right, he is on the scene because he doesn't quit on his creation because
he
already knows.
Quit,
he,
man.
He's not giving up, and it's all of his creation because he wants all of his creation to have a full understanding of him. But he already
right.
told us that there's going to be 2/3 that ain't going to listen, and he's going to have to do away with them. And that's okay because
right.
the other third has to really start thinking, like, people got to be thinking, do I want to be with the two-thirds or do I want to be on the one-third? Because, see, a lot of people dismiss all of that. They go, well, that stuff's going to happen well before. I'll be dead and long gone. It doesn't matter if you're dead and long gone. You will still be judged. That's what people in Christianity don't understand. They don't get what this
That's
is all
true.
About. It's about your actions and your energies and your frequencies and vibrations here and where you are. So just because you're spirit, just because we don't see these people anymore and their bodies in the ground, we don't know what their spirits are doing, what havoc they're wrecking. We don't know. So the judgment is going to befall all of his creation, all of it. I think the only part of his creation that's going to be judged the least is going to be the earth, the air, and the water. I think those are the only pieces of his creation that's going to be the least judged out of all of them. Even the animals, because some of the animals then ate the other animals. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been
hey, bro, real quick, interject something real quick. What you said about those who have passed on. Let me say something, man. When you read the Third Testament, to make it simple, it's all good. All good.
Yes.
It's all good. Even that which we think is bad news, I'm telling you, it's all good, man. And we really ain't got we don't have nothing to fear. No
right.
way I'll be able to, in this segment talk about that. But we have sold the Father short, man. It's all good for all of us. Eventually, some sooner than others, but it's all good, and it'll make you stop running away from the Father. It'll make you run to Him. It'll make you run to. There's something in the Third Testament where it says, when you eat a part of this life, it'll stay with your spirit forever. It'll never part from it.
Yeah, that's the beauty, and you know what? That's the good news. And that's the good news to our people in particular.
That is
because
brother, he saved the best wine till last.
That's right. That's always
he saved
been
the best wine until last, man.
That's right.
Because it's all good. The Third Testament is all good, man. You can take that burden off of your. You can take that weight off of your shoulders of evil thinking relishing
hate
in somebody's
brother.
Misery and you could take
that
off.
Yeah.
That's a
burden,
man.
That's what I was gonna say. That burden, that millstone that has been burdened that we all have chosen to put on our necks around for eons. You know, we can now take it off.
The only fruit it bears is affliction and more affliction. That's the only fruit it bears.
And
it got us in the big trouble.
And we can now take it off with his power and his grace. We can take it off.
Exactly.
But so many people have not heard that you can take it off, and they're so scared to take it off that they can't take it off. You see? But some of us have taken it off, and they're looking at us perplexed. Like, how did you get that millstone off your neck? And we're going, that was easy. What's the hard part is getting these chains off our ankles. See?
Yeah.
The chains
very
off
well
our ankles,
said.
Once
very
that's
well
done,
said.
You know, it's on and popping after that. I mean, we rolling after I got I'm free from my ankles to my neck. I can think. I am mind, body, and spirit. The metaphysics has come.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in my rightful place. That's what this is all about, getting back to the rightful place, reverting back to the spirit, right? Reverting back to the spirit.
That's
properly,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
It's all good.
That is all good
it's
stuff.
All
bro.
Good.
Yeah. And people,
all
this
good.
Is just. This is just from the Third Testament, the Book of True Life. And we're not going into it like they, you know, we're not looking at this from an idolatrous perspective. What we're saying is the words that are being stated in this is something to observe, something to read and listen to and adhere to. It's not that it's like the Ten Commandments. It's something that you have to understand. And it's not that you know, we're saying,
like,
hey, you
water
gotta...
in the desert.
Exactly. Exactly. It's something that you got that it's something that you should want, that you really need.
Oh, absolutely.
And this gives you a lot of confusion cleared up.
This is for you.
It does, and it gives you the proper perspective of things.
Yes.
Because we got to look at it from the perspective of, oh, these camps love to run around and hate, just like these supremacists, right? Everybody want to hate. It's easy to hate, but hating. Look at where the world is today with the hate. It's time for people to understand what true love looks like. And that doesn't, get out the lust, get out the porn, the pornography type mindset, and really sit down and go, well, it's okay to love another person as you wish to be loved. That's okay. Now, if you run around, you're a degenerate or a reprobate, and you're like, I just want that, blah, 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 you're not doing it right. That's not going to work. That's not going to win the day. You will actually lose with the degraded, degenerate mind. And that's what we're starting to see. We're seeing this dementia of minds from the Gentiles right now. And that's black, white, Puerto Rican, Haitian. It don't matter what color you are. It's the mind that is in dire straits. That's why I said we fight against principalities. That's what we're fighting, and this is what we're seeing, that the principalities of the world is coming home to root, It's great.
Well, let me revisit something real quick that you said. Real quick, let me revisit something that there's been a lot of damage done to our nation by Christianity. And besides, he says that he knew that men would misinterpret and obfuscate his and mess up his word, basically, is what he said. He knew that that was going to happen in the first and the second era. He knew that was going to happen. And we have. We've made it error play, mistake play, the bad understanding of it. And now that's why he has to come in the third era with the Holy Spirit and fulfill John 16, where he speaks plainly, And he doesn't, I'm going to say something very, very shocking here. He doesn't really mark sin like he does in the first and the second century. Error. He doesn't really mark
it,
Matter of fact, I'm sitting here right now. I've got the Third Testament on the screen, and I'm going to see how many times this even mentioned. Now, I'm not trying to lessen sin or anything like that, but one of the things that will surprise people who get into this is his lack of conversation, the weight that we give to sin, because we cannot measure up. And he says the intent of our desire to draw near to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is just as important, because the flesh is finished, totally finished. And we have been taught that, we have been taught, I just want to make it clear that from what I understand now that I know this Third Testament, that with whatever we only hurt ourselves, but we should never accuse the Father. We should never accuse the Father, and we should never reach the point where we just can't make it.
Once we know about
the depth of the Father's love, we are going to overcome, plain and simple. We're going to do it. Christianity created a lot of psychosis in people. I know in me.
It did, dude.
A lot of that.
It did. It really did.
I know.
And one thing I want to say
too.
Oh, yeah. And one thing I want to say about the Third Testament, real quick, to your point, is that he talks a lot about how he's going to just cleanse that sin away from you, that he's going to just take it away. That's the whole point. He's in the third era. He's coming to get rid of sin because there's no way for us to – we try not to sin, but our thoughts, we have been tainted. So he's got to come and do the right, do the thing that he needs to do to cleanse us from that, to purge us from that sin, from that thought. But hey, brother, the time has come and we have reached a bit over. But brethren, this is good. We must continue this more. We must do this more because I think a lot of folks would be more interested, or not more interested, I just say a lot of people would be interested in the conversation. That's what this is all about. We're trying to stimulate a conversation based on who we are, whose we are, right? And, ours is the first of that, because a lot of times the conversation is one person having a conversation at a screen or a microphone. I want this to be an assembly, if you will, of Israel that gives us the full understanding of who we are and how we can move forward. That's how this works. Hey, brother, it reminds me of What's Going On, the album, right? This is how we do this. What's going on is that we got to be able to do this collectively so that we can sharpen each other so that the things that you learn, I learn, the things I learn, you learn. This is how it works. This is how our nation grows. This is what this is all about. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Father's will to be. This is the beauty of where we are today. This is the beauty of the light of Islam.
What people should take away is we're just getting started in this understanding, and we don't know how long before Messiah is going to fulfill Colossians 1:27, where he's going to speak directly to us. That's next on the agenda. But right now, we're just taking baby steps in the understanding of the Third Testament.
And because there's going to be something next.
The more we keep dialogue, we're going to get better and stronger. You can bet on that.
That's right. That is a bet. That is a bet. Well, brother, and we got to give praises to the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Holy Spirit. And Yahweh Shai, the Messiah, that he allowed this to go off without a hitch, even though in the beginning it was a bit tricky, but we survived, we made it, and it was a great conversation, and I do appreciate you, and I'm sure those that will listen will appreciate it as well. Go ahead, you're on YouTube as well. Go ahead and plug your show, your lesson, your station.
Well, I can have a room on Facebook called The Upper Room, capital UPPER, small ROOM, and I try to post from things like the Third Testament and other books to try to help brethren to stay focused on their spiritual self. So you go to Facebook, Yaquab on Israel, that's me with the green shepherd's garment, green and white, holding the shepherd's staff. Send me a friend invite, and let's have fellowship together. Thanks, William.
Yes, thank you. Thanks you, brother. Thank you. Thank the Father for this. This is awesome. Brothers and sisters, we do bid you shalom, and we appreciate your listening to all of them. Good day, good night, grand rising. Everyone be at peace, for our redemption is here. Brother, we'll talk soon. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.